This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hello and welcome to the Simple Politics podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte, and with me I have the brilliant Diane and TV's own Tatton. How are you both?
Oh, Tatton, are you still, you know, okay with being on the podcast, or are you too big and too famous?
It's funny because Glastonbury headliners came out earlier and I seem to have been overlooked again this year. Yeah. Robbed. Mm.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to still have you for now, for as long as we could hold on to you.
For now, yeah.
For those, sadly, who missed it, Tatton was on Politics Live yesterday, or on Wednesday, which is very big and exciting. And you're an old Tatton aren't you?
It's very big and exciting in the retired community, I think. I mean, it's fun to do. And like, I'm just really aware that it goes out on a Wednesday because I've got PMQs at 12. It goes out at 11:15 on a work day. And I know that, you know, students, you know, famously students watch daytime TV, but they probably don't watch Politics Live. So the viewership is, an older one. It's a really fun show to do because there's a couple of politicians, mm-hmm. and always an interesting other voice that's not, you know, just not me as well as me. And it's a fun format and it's fun to do. And the SP page grew not a tiny bit because I was on yesterday. And I think my Twitter got 30 people interested. So like it doesn't shift the dial for us particularly, but it's fun to do.
Yeah.
So I'll keep doing it if they keep having me back, and they keep saying they will. So yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, there's plenty of other outlets out there where you can get your politics and your news. Politics Live is one of them. Tan, what's another?
Well, alas, the other one is mercifully Tatton free, so you can listen to it and not be overly concerned that I'll pop up. No, we want to talk about Tortoise, because Tortoise is a newsroom that believes in slowing down. Tortoise, you get slowing down to make sense of the world, and Tortoise News is the home of shows that do just that. There's the Short Sensemaker podcast, which explains one story every day. The News Meeting, where journalists and special guests debate what should lead the news. And Trendy, with polling expert Professor John Curtis. Yes, the John Curtis off the telly. And policy guru Rachel Wolfe, not from the telly, probably from the telly, which is a fact-filled journey through trends in society, politics and public opinion. They tackle everything from the upcoming elections here in the UK and in the US to why we're having fewer babies and why Britain is failing to build enough affordable housing. You can find Tortoise Podcast by searching for Tortoise News wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, very exciting. Now, we haven't been paid by Tortoise to say this, but they are giving us a similar shout out on their podcast. So if you've joined us from there, hello, welcome.
Welcome, Tortoises.
I wouldn't have thought they would have joined yet, because it's all very slow. So they will join over time, having eaten a bit of lettuce slowly. I think that's how it works.
Probably, yes. But nevertheless, you are welcome. We have plenty of lettuce for you here. Anyway, let's move on. I don't know what else to say.
It sounds like a terrible hip-hop song. Get your lettuce.
Oh, dear. Yeah, there are going to be other podcasts banging down our door now to get promotion on our podcast, clearly. Anyway, right, let's move on. The first section of the podcast is Top Posts of the Week. So this is where we look at the posts that were most popular on the Simple Politics pages this week. So Tatton, what was our third most popular post?
Well, I have to say it's not been a massively busy week on the Simple Politics page. So a couple of these maybe wouldn't have made it on another week. But one post that we do now and again is wooing and booing. We just pick a topic that's current and we give the arguments for and against. And this was a Keir Starmer saying it was frankly immoral that many kids don't have access to the arts or the chance to learn an instrument. And it's interesting because this was a Jeremy Corbyn policy. Jeremy Corbyn was all about every child having the opportunity to learn an instrument. It was a key policy for him. And so, you know, we're not, clearly the Labour Party aren't getting rid of all the Corbyn stuff, because I mean the arts, as Keir Starmer, are important. The woos basically said it's great, arts are great, and the boos basically said money, and also the school day is so busy. I've had meetings with head teachers about delivering politics, and they're like, everyone says we should be doing it, but schools can't do everything. What do you want from a school day? It's only, what, 9 till 3 or whatever it is around that. Like, they can't pack everything. So that was it. And it had lots of comments and surprising amount of people. I think I was expecting, because it's Instagram, it's Facebook, it's Twitter, I was expecting a lot more go arts stuff, but there was a surprising number of people who were like,
I think that's because they hated the recorder mainly, isn't it?
There was lots of anti-recorder chat. I mean, we've had a definition of extremism out today, and there was definitely some people with some extreme views. Michael Gove would not have been happy with the way the recorder was being slandered in our comment section.
There was one comment that really, like, in the whole debate stood out for me, which was a rhetorical question about funding and the whole thing of what you fund first. And they said that if you say you're going to fix all the other stuff that needs to be fixed first, you know, the NHS and public services and everything that needs money, will you ever get back to the arts? Because, you know, it's a bit like painting the fourth bridge or whatever, you know, it's you always need money for other stuff, right?
Yeah. Right. So painting the fourth bridge, I mean, absolutely that works. But I've got an even better one, because yesterday I was at Victoria Station and I needed a wee, right? So I went down to the loo at Victoria Station, and there was a guy trying to clean the steps onto the loo. A lot of people are going to the loo, right?
Yeah.
And this guy's trying to clean the steps, and he was very polite and stopped cleaning every time someone wanted to use the steps, right? And I think that guy's still there now.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to be clean.
No.
Because if you stop and then you clean off where they've been, like, it's never going to be clean. So if the primary function of that guy is to clean those steps and also to dust the pictures around the place, the pictures ain't never going to be dusted.
Mm. Yeah, there was someone who said a quote that I'm about to butcher that was along the lines of things like medicine keep us alive, but the arts are why we live.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
And during the pandemic, what did everyone turn to? The arts.
And banana bread.
And SP.
Yes. Well, I would say that they are all an art. Anyway,
two of those three arts. No, it's a really interesting debate. Yeah. And it's nice that Keir Starmer, who might well be prime minister before the end of the year, is talking about the arts, because, I mean, we have an arts emergency. You know, small clubs are closing down, band venues, live venues are closing down, museums are massively struggling for funding, and then what happens is you get into this vicious cycle where they can't be free, so they have to charge, and then they have to keep putting the prices up to cover, and then people are suddenly priced out and can't come and can't see stuff. And also, they have to keep putting prices up because they need to keep making more money as they're pricing people out the bottom. So all kinds of arts are in real trouble. Mm. And I think everyone in the country believes it. Now, I just would add that the conservative view of the arts is through personal donations, through charitable donations, is that it shouldn't be state-funded, and there should be, and there are a lot of charitable donations made. I think they're more often made to fine art, the opera and the ballet and the, you know, that kind of thing gets more funding, and BP sponsor, you know, art galleries in London, and that gets controversial because it obviously BP, fossil fuel company. So the Conservatives would suggest, I think, that generally arts funding should be third sector rather than government, because it's small government. If you believe in small government, you could be and big society was Cameron's line. Mm. Then that's where funding for the arts should come. Goodness, we've been talking about the arts for a long time.
Yes, time to move on. As much as I could talk about the arts all day. Diane, what was our second most popular poster?
Well, let's go to something completely different from the arts, and that's The Anderson. So our week started with because we're signed up to get all of the press releases from all of the parties, which is really fun. And 6 a.m. press release, which Tatton saw first, from Reform UK, saying they had a big announcement. Capital letters, maybe, I think. Big announcement.
There were capital letters as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, yeah. Going to be at 10:30. Now, we were chatting. For a minute, we thought, is it Farage, potentially? Is it, you know, is that the thing that they're going to announce?
It's always the thing when you see an announcement from them. Yeah. Is it going to be Farage? At some point, it's going to be Farage. At some point, that's going to happen. But no, not yet.
But no. No, it was Mr. Lee Anderson, recently suspended from the Conservative Party over his comments re Sadiq Khan. And he really unsurprisingly, and the post, it's in the middle, it's two, but like Tatton said, we haven't had mega big news to post this week, so it's probably two by a whisker, because it wasn't surprising. We thought this was on the cards. He's defected to Reform. The whole press con was a bit uncomfortable at times. He talked about his constituency a lot. They talked about the red wall. And he actually said that from, you know, ordinary people he knows, and his parents in particular, had said they wouldn't vote for him unless he jumped ship to Reform. So that's what he's done. And whether that turns out to be a wise decision for him in the next election is one we shall wait and see.
We are pushed for time, so we don't want to talk about this for too long. But one of the things we've said about Reform in the elections, they're not focused enough on some seats. So they didn't know which seats were winnable. And suddenly this changes that, because they will now spend a lot of time, put a lot of effort into Ashfield.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And he's got a good chance of being re-elected. Mm. He's got his own channel on. He's got his own show on a TV channel, right? That's a lot of... He's high profile. People like to vote for high profile people. He's high profile. He'll have a lot of support. He will have Nigel Farage standing next to him during the election campaign. And that counts for something. I mean, Boris Johnson's going to go out campaigning next, you know, for the election. And that counts for something too. Whatever some people think of Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage, they are vote winners in certain sections of the electorate. So Lee Anderson, I think, will be an MP after the election. And I think possibly as a Conservative candidate, he wouldn't have been. So... I mean, obviously, he's taken the ball. He's something's happened. He's taken the ball home, and he can't play with me anymore. And he's gone to Reform UK. But I think it's not. If what you care about is Lee Anderson, and I believe that what Lee Anderson cares about is Lee Anderson, it's not a bad move.
Well, we will see what happens there. And Tatton, what's the most popular post of the week?
Most popular post of the week. Every year it's the most popular post, one of the most popular posts of the year, really. It's International Women's Day. There are so many things that we could have said and we could have done to value so many different people. I vaguely, briefly thought about doing a post about the amazing women on Team SP. And then I looked around and couldn't find them.
I knew where you were going.
That, do you know what? At the start of that sentence, I didn't know where I was going.
But I knew. I knew where you did.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, Diane and Charlotte are unspeakably brilliant. But then these came because France enshrined the right to abortion in their constitution, and Ireland was having a referendum to take sexist language out. That seemed like a more politicsy, more us thing to do. And so we asked, what change would you make to mark International Women's Day? We had lots of lovely responses. We had some nonsense, but you'd expect that. And of course, the whole thing didn't end quite the way we thought it would, because Ireland voted against taking sexist language out of the constitution. We didn't post on that because we don't post on stuff that happens outside the UK. But it was a bit of a shame. But you know, they can vote to keep sexist language in their constitution if they want to. That's their right.
That's democracy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very messy campaign, but. Yes. There we go.
Right, so those are the top posts of the week. Let's take a brief moment to chat about our lovely Patreon backers and how you can join them to keep the podcast going. We have four options at patreon.com/simplepolitics. Ooh. Yeah. So firstly, for just £3 a month, you can join and get the pod ad-free and a day earlier than everyone else.
Okay.
We can listen today.
Yeah.
You can, as in Thursday. But to the people listening now who aren't Patreon backers, it'll be Friday.
Oh, that's pretty good. For £3.
It's pretty good,
plus
isn't
that.
It? Bargain.
Yeah.
Would you, wait till you hear what you get for a fiver. It'll blow you away. For a fiver.
There's a £5 tier too.
Yeah, for a fiver, you get an extra podcast every month. You can.
Oh, we record those.
We do.
Those are, I say my best things on those.
Yeah, that's what they're for, the Fiverr people. Yeah, and they get the unedited video version where you know, see us all sip our cups of tea and cats come into frame, all of that stuff.
I mean, that doesn't sound so good.
I think
it's
that's
great.
A bonus.
It's the best part.
What else? Any other tiers?
I don't think so. Oh, hang on. And for, I knew this was coming. And for a tenner, you get all the stuff we've just mentioned. That's ad-free podcast a day early. And you get to see us like as we do it. And that's completely unedited. So you get to see all of the bits that should be edited out. And you get an extra episode every month, and you get priority questions, and you get my eternal love and gratitude, and you get 10% off in our shop, which is, I mean, all our stuff costs a tenner, so that's £1 off any of our stuffs, and a shout out. We will say your name live. I mean, not like we'll say it live. You'll listen to it later. I mean, it'll be pre-recorded by the time you've heard it, but it'll be live at one point. Listen, all of those things. I think that it's nice to have those things. If you enjoy the podcast, it's nice to hit listen early. It's nice to get the extra episode. It's nice to, you know, whatever. But all of that helps SP. We have had a difficult year financially. And if you can support us and support the podcast, then it makes it more... We can justify continuing because it takes up all three of our time for an hour. I know that you get a shorter version. That's because we have such a wonderful editor and saves you from so much nonsense. Like, we do Patreon because we hope that you would like to support the work we do. And any of those tiers will do that. So please do. If you enjoyed the podcast, it's patreon.com/simplepolitics. And we'll love you forever.
We will. Especially if you go for the highest tier, which is 25 quid a month. You get all of that, plus you get exclusive merch every 3 months. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like,
yeah, that's pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
Every 3 months?
Mm. Every 3 months. Yeah.
I'll be counting down that time.
Mm. Anyway, that's Patreon.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Speaking of you lovely listeners and backers, it's time for our favourite part of the podcast, which is the mailbag, which is where we answer your questions. Jacob, first off, asks, does the increased chatter about a general election point towards an imminent announcement next week in time for May, or is it all just wishful thinking?
Well, Jacob, this is what I'm literally thinking about every moment of every second of every day. We could have an announcement late next week, maybe Friday next week, that launch a general election in May. Now, I still don't think that's going to happen. Rishi Sunak said just last week that he is still thinking nothing's changed about the working theory being in the second half of the year. Conservatives are 20% behind, 20% in the polls, and we're in recession. This is not a good time for an election. But lots of people who are much cleverer than me are saying, oh, I think he might go early. So he might do. And we've got a week to know because, importantly, there are other elections on May the 2nd. There is no way he will call one anytime near May the 2nd because that would clearly be a massive waste of money. And everyone would be very upset with him. And the thing about running an election is you want people to not be upset with you. So if it's not May, it will be, autumn almost certainly. Mm. Although presumably everyone will then perk up about July or whatever. It's squeaky bum time over the next week. Are we going to get an election called? It's a sports term, Charlotte, you wouldn't answer.
Yeah, no, I got really confused.
So especially Thursday, Friday next week, that's when the heat is on. But I don't think it's going to happen.
Yes, we will see. We have a voice note from Original Emily.
Hello, Original Emily.
Very exciting. If you don't know about Original Emily, then I'm afraid you haven't been in the club for long enough, but we love Original Emily. Here is Original Emily's voice note.
Hello, folks. It's the Original Emily here. I've got a question for the podcast, which is, there is currently a leadership election going on in the Welsh Labour Party for First Minister. How much do you think that might impact a wider general election?
Thanks, Original Emily. The answer is it won't.
Care to elaborate? Or...
I think
we're doing an extreme quickfire.
Can I just say though, right, so this is within Welsh Labour, so Mark Drakeford, who everyone knew because of COVID and him having to do all the COVID briefings, very, very well known First Minister in Wales, has stood down. And so it's between two candidates within their own party. There's Vaughan Gething, who, again, most people recognise because he was around during
Health
COVID.
Secretary.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's Jeremy Miles. And I think the only thing that might happen is it depends if the party, you know, it's a funny one when there's a leadership competition within a party, isn't it? Because you're pitting two people against each other from within a party. And will everybody be happy with the selection and all get behind and really, like, you know, be a big joint party again behind the new person, because it seems quite split. There's backing for both of these guys. So that's the only thing that might happen. I think if it has any impact at all, it might be on the Welsh Labour vote. Is everyone happy with the new FM? That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that it is super important for the people of Wales.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like not just in the general election, it really matters who your first minister is. Mm. And clearly there are some things that have happened in Wales that is very popular, doing very well, and clearly there are some things that happened in Wales that haven't gone all that well for Drakeford. I suppose I was being flippant. I suppose that if the new leader, and I can't call it, I don't know who it's going to be out of the two of them, if the new leader does stand up and bang a drum and make everyone look up and take notice, maybe the electorate in Wales will be more interested. Maybe, small chance. They won't have much time to turn things around, but if the election is in November, then maybe they can do some amazing things with the NHS in Wales. And maybe Keir Starmer can stand up and say, this is what a Labour government looks like. Maybe they'll make an absolute mess of it. And the Conservatives can stand up and say, this is what a Labour government looks like. They do that already, to be fair.
Mm. All the time.
But I don't know how much those things make a difference. Mm. Like, it is an important election, but in terms of the wider, I mean, the thing about Wales is that areas that are going to vote Plaid Cymru mm-hmm. are probably going to vote Plaid Cymru anyway. And then there's massive parts of Wales that are just so deeply Labour that they'll vote for. There aren't many swing seats in Wales. There's a couple of Tory ones that could go because it looks like almost all the Conservative seats are going to go. But in general, there aren't many swing seats in Wales. So I don't think it makes a difference there for the general election particularly.
No. Arguably, the nation that is more tense to look at, I couldn't think of the word, sorry, and it's not even tense, but Scotland with the
swinging.
SNP versus Labour.
Scotland's going to be very swinging.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So that will be... I love Wales. Sorry, nothing
more
swingers Wales, but...
than a bowls keys in
oh,
a bowl
no.
situation.
We're not going down this route. Quick, next question.
Tatton.
I think it was a sophisticated, intelligent,
Tatton.
And a witty response. Thank you very much.
Let's have one more question. Very quick answer from Benjamin. What are the chances of the Conservatives getting less than 100 seats?
Almost none. When push comes to shove, lots of seats will stay Conservative, because don't forget that polling is universal. It's like 20%, but that's not how everything works. Some seats will buck the trend. Some seats will do whatever. They're going to get more than 100 seats because they're the Conservatives, and some seats are just always going to be Conservative.
Mm.
There you go. We'll hold you to that. Let's move on to the third section of the podcast, which is PM Watch. Tatton, what's Rishi been up to this week? I'm sure he's had a very quiet one, hasn't he?
God, I hate this. Right. Frank Hester is just a horrible man. And he said the most horrific things. Not just sexist, not just misogynistic. But he talked about how an MP should be shot, right? An MP should be shot. He's horrible. And he gave £10 million to the Conservative Party. Oh, and also he was awarded £100 million worth of
contracts
by the Conservative Party. So, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily dodgy. He could have got those 100 million pounds of contracts without having been a donor. I believe that the procurement process for giving out these contracts is more robust than maybe it was during PPE. I don't think we can necessarily call corruption on that, even though it's easy to do so. I think that that could be fine. The things he said aren't fine. And it's just this thing that we've had with the Labour Party and with the Conservative Party, just not, just being really shifty and just not coming out and saying it. That was wrong. That was racist. That was disgusting. That was, you know, it's clear those things are the case.
Yeah.
Right. It's absolutely clear. But they were like, oh, he's apologized. Oh, what happened nearly half a decade ago, which is a great way of saying 4 years. Nearly half a decade sounds a lot longer ago than 4 years ago. Mm. I said it on telly yesterday. Like, we are all, none of us are surprised by any of the stuff that goes on. You know, Labour, they still have this anti-Semitism problem still going on. The Conservatives have this kind of, the stench of corruption, even though it might not be the case in this time. It's so easy to assume it is because of their past and things they've done in the near past. You know, like racism, misogyny, sex scandals. Scott Benton is out in a recall petition right now because he was corrupt. And everything stinks from all of them. There's a big question about paying back £10 million, right? I'll come to that in a second. For me, whether they pay it back isn't as important as how much they condemn him. How much they lay it on the line that this man is a wrong'un. And he made some joke about Indians on the roof of a train. Right? What is going on? Like, he's just a terrible, terrible guy. Right. Now, when it comes to the £10 million he donated, now he donated that money not particularly recently. And that money has gone. Right? They have spent that money. And we know that everyone says that the Conservatives are a rich party, and they are richer. They get more donations than, say, the Labour Party. In Q4, in the fourth quarter of 2023, the Conservative Party got £9.8 million donated, and the Labour Party got £6 million donated. Labour Party donations are soaring at the moment as people think they're going to be in power, so they're giving them more money to, you know, to what? And that's the other question, party donations. What do you expect? Why are you giving Labour money because they're going to be in power? Give Labour money because you support the values of the Labour Party, sure. But if they're going to get into power and then you're giving them money, surely you're expecting something back. That's corrupt. But the Conservative Party do not have £10 million knocking about to return to him or to give to charity. If you don't want to give the money back to the guy, you can give £10 million to charities that fight racism or whatever it might be, but they don't have the money. So what are we talking about? Some kind of payment plan? Can you give to charity on Klarna? Right? Where you pay £500,000 every quarter for the next. I think it's really hard to ask them to give it back. Would they accept more? I hope they wouldn't. But I think calls to hand it back are slightly, I don't know what that means if you haven't got the money to hand back. If I get given a sandwich by a racist, right, and I don't realise they're a racist and I've eaten the sandwich, it's very hard for me to give the sandwich back.
I don't think they have made it clear in any way that they would not take any more money from him. And
they haven't. They absolutely haven't.
No.
Didn't the minister say that they would?
Yes.
There's been a suggestion they would,
So Rishi Sunak should have stood up and said, you know, if that's the case, and I'm not sure because I'm not in with Conservative Party finances or how that works, but if you say they don't have 10 million, they don't have 10 million. But I would say they need to make it clear he is now barred from
I mean, Jonathan Gullis yesterday said they would. They would. I mean, he's not a minister, but as a backbencher, he said they should take more money. He's had his punishment. He's been publicly humiliated. He's apologized, and it's up to him how he wants to spend his money.
But this comes down to, look at we, as Simple Politics, right, are very, very conscious. We have conversations all the time about money and not having shady backers and by
also not having money.
And not having money. But we'd rather not have money than be associated with people who are against our values. You know, that's the crux of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but this is it. This is it. He's proved himself.
Yeah.
But, you know, the guys, again, we've got to move on, but the argument the Conservative Party would make is that he has shown contrition, although he hasn't, they say that he's shown contrition, and this was a long time ago, and we are in this country free to spend the money how we want to spend the money, and if he wants to give more money, then that's up to him.
Yes, well, I feel like this debate might continue for a bit longer, but it's time for the crystal ball. So what else?
I can't stress enough, this debate will continue because mistrust and dodginess across all the parties right now is at an all-time high.
Mm. Yeah. So what else will be happening over the next week, do you think, Tatton?
Oh, Rwanda. It's back once again. The Lords have torn it apart. This is the Rwanda bill, don't forget, that says that Rwanda is a safe country. Mm-hmm. We already have the legislation to send people there, but the court said you can only do it if it's a safe country. We don't think it's a safe country. And then they're saying, well, it is a safe country because we say it is a safe country and that's how safety works. And that's back in the Commons, and expect the government to take out all the Lords amendments and expect lots of people to be cross about it.
Yeah. Diane, what's in your crystal ball?
We will be haranguing you again next week about voter registration because it marks a month to vote, 4 weeks to get registered if you want to take part in May's local elections and quite possibly a general election that we won't know till next Friday.
Brilliant. Well, that's all we have time for this week. Thank you ever so much for joining us, and thank you, Tatton and Diane.
Thank you. Just also, thank you for getting to the end of the podcast. It's lovely that you have done. And I know we've been quite silly this podcast. We did the tortoise thing at the top, and then we obviously have to talk about Patreon because Patreon's massively important to us and we love our Patreon backers, and, you know, please consider it. But I'm aware that we had two sections that weren't pure politics goodness that you tune in for. So thank you very much for sticking with us to the end, and we love you masses.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. You just heard a Stripped Media production.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel-Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.